Today, I want to talk to you about stubborn seeds. Stubborn seeds. Amen. I want to talk to you about stubborn seeds. Here's my question, and I don't want you to answer it right here. You don't have to answer it in our midst, in our gathering. But I want to ask you a question. Are you a stubborn seed? I'm going to let that meditate for a minute. I'm going to just let you sit there for just a second. Are you a stubborn seed? Now, I want you to think about what a seed is. And I'm just going to ask some questions. You don't have to answer them back. But what is a seed? What is a seed? A seed is something that is supposed to have reproductive ability on the inside of it. And it is meant to produce something that is unseen right now, but in the future you'll be able to see it. The purpose of a seed is to produce fruit or some type of crop, some type of harvest that not only you can partake of, but that others can partake of. Amen? So the question again today is, are you a stubborn seed? So I want to set this up for just a second, and I want to kind of paint a picture of what I mean by you being a seed. Now, you've heard the word talk about, when the Bible talks about the word of God being seed itself. Amen. The word of God being seed itself. But did you know that you are God's seed in the earth? Did you know that you are God's seed in the earth? And what I mean by seed, you are God's creation. You are his child. You literally came out of God, just like a child, just like a seed comes out of a father into the mother and it produces a child. God produced you out of himself into the earth. He used a little bit of dirt, a little bit of dust, and he breathed into it the breath of life, and out of it became a man, a living person, a living being. And so humanity, mankind, humans, we are literally God's seed that he breathed into the earth. We are the seed of God in the earth. And not only that, but we were created in his image and in his likeness. That means that we have attributes and characteristics of God. And so why is that so important for you to know, Elder Jerry, that we are created in his image and in his likeness? Because God is one who creates and produces. And if he is one who creates and produces, and if we are his children and we have characteristics like him, then that means that there is something on the inside of you that you are meant to produce and create in the earth. There is something that is on the inside of you that you are supposed to produce and that should multiply in the earth. How can you say that, Jeremy? Well, I know that for a fact that in Genesis, when he created man and he placed man in the garden, the first thing he told man, he said, be fruitful and multiply, which indicates to me that if he told me to be fruitful and to multiply, then there must be seed on the inside of me. There must be something on the inside of me that needs to come out. It needs to be reproduced in the earth. Amen? Our first order of operation upon creation was to be fruitful and to multiply. Amen? And we know that that can have a double meaning. We know that that can have a twofold meaning. One, of course, meaning procreation. That means that as human beings, God wants us to produce other human beings out of his sanctity of marriage. He wants us to, he has designed man and woman to come together. And as man and woman comes together as the way he designed it through marriage, then through their intimacy, they will potentially produce fruit or seed in the earth. So that's the first fold meaning. But I also believe that God has put gifts, talents, abilities, skills, all types of things on the inside of you that he wants you to partner with someone else, to partner with other people, to come together with others who can pull those things out of you so that you not only have seed on the inside, but it connects with something that they have and it produces something in the earth. So your job and your mandate is to be fruitful and to multiply, not to simply exist in the earth. Did you know that there's a difference between existing and living and breathing and moving and being reproductive in the earth? You can exist in a bag. A seed can sit in a bag and not produce anything. It's still a seed. It still has potential on the inside of it to produce. But a seed is still a seed, even if it's in a bag. What makes the seed beneficial and productive? When it gets connected with the right ground and it gets connected and it's put in situations and circumstances and in its right season to produce what it has the potential to produce in the earth. But you will never see a seed produce what's on the inside of it when it's still in the bag. Or if it tries to produce outside of its season. Amen? Because you can take a seed out of the bag, put it in the ground, but if it's not the right time for that seed to produce that particular crop, then it will not produce that which it needs to produce. And those who are anticipating and waiting on the fruit that it is produced will miss out because you operated out of season. But if you can get in the right conditions and in the right season, then you will produce the thing that God has preordained for you to produce. Every seed that God has placed in the earth, every herb-bearing seed, right? Every seed that he has put in the earth has a timing that is supposed to be planted, and it has potential that it's supposed to produce. So my question is, if a seed, if God gave potential to a seed to produce, and a plant doesn't have a soul, it doesn't have a spirit, it's just a creation that God created. If God gave a plant potential, and it gave a plant, a seed, the opportunity to produce fruit, much more he has given you to produce. But the question is, again, are you a stubborn seed? That's hard to hear, and I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but the question is, are you just living and existing, and not just as an individual, but as a church, are you just existing, or are you producing fruit in your season? Let's go to John 12, 23 through 27. We're going to look at what Jesus has to say about a seed and producing fruit. Amen. John 12, verse 23 through 27. Amen. John 12, verse 23 through 27. And I'm going to say this. You have to understand the times and the seasons that we're in these last days. If you have not been able to tell, if you have not been able to discern the times and the seasons that we're in the body of Christ in this time and season, in this dispensation, he's like, God, I just don't know where we are. I just don't know where we are and what's going on in the body of Christ. It's maybe so confusing for you. I'm going to give you a little hint. We are in the time of apostolic and prophetic sending season in the body of Christ. That means, and you heard it said before, not only in the church and in the body of Christ, but also in the world, after 2020, things will never be the same again. What it looked like before, it will never look like again. What we used to be before, what we used to be and what we used to do and what used to work before can no longer work moving forward. We are in a different season in the body of Christ. We are in a different season in the church. And so therefore, the work that we did prior to this new season won't be able to produce the fruit that it needs to produce in this next season and in this new season. So we have to be aware of the season that we're in, and we have to conform to the season and for the reason that God has called us to. Verse 23, and Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come. Let me stop right there. He said, the hour has come. That means there can't, the season and the timing is here. The season and the timing is here. The hour has come. It is time for the Son of Man to be glorified. So I want you to hear what he's saying right here. He said, the time has come for glory to be revealed. That's the first thing I want you to hear. Jesus said, the hour, the time, the season has come for God's glory to be revealed in me. In me. That didn't mean that what Jesus was doing before did not bring his Father glory. But he said, the thing which I was sent here to do in the earth, the thing which I was born for, he said, the thing which I have been predestined, preordained for, he said, the time has come for it to come to pass and to be fulfilled. The hour has come. 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So let me go back to 23. 23, I want to break down what that means. The hour has come, the Son of Man, to be glorified. There are God preordained times and seasons specific to your life in which God expects seed in the earth to produce fruit and multiply what he has placed on the inside of you. I'm going to say that again. There are God-ordained, preordained times and seasons in your life in which God expects you to produce what he placed on the inside of you. Did y'all hear me? There are God-ordained times, preordained times and seasons in which God comes to you and says, okay, I'm here to take inventory of what I put on the inside of you because the time has come. I'm not going to go down this road, but you've heard the story about the talents. The man who gave three servants talents and he went away for a while. And when he came back, he said, okay, what did you do with what I gave you, what I put in your hands? And we know the stories. One produced five, he had five and he produced five more. One had two and he produced two more. One buried his gift and he was called wicked and lazy. But there are preordained times and seasons that are in your life, points of time, specific points and times in your life where God says, okay, it's time for you to step into this. It's time for you to walk in this. It's time for you to begin to produce this. And notice, it is not your time and not your hour. It is not your timing. It's not your season. It's God's preordained time and season where he comes and he expects his seed, which is you in the earth, to produce fruit and to multiply what he has placed on the inside of you. And when his children, his seed, bears fruit or is productive, it speaks of and gives glory to the Father. So the Bible says that he has placed these gifts, these abilities, these anointings, all these things he's placed on the inside of you. He expects at the right time for you to walk in those things. And it says that when you produce fruit, he said, it is God's will that you produce much fruit. He said, it will give the Father glory. It will point back to God. It will reveal God in the earth. So there are specific times in your life in which you are supposed to produce things and do things and act on specific things And when you do it, people will see God. Not you. But when you walk in the thing that God has created, called, and commissioned you to walk in the right season, people don't even see you. They see God. Think about that. It's bigger than you. They see past you, and they're able to see the invisible God who the world cannot see, but is being revealed through you and through your obedience to what he has called, created, and commissioned you to do. It brings glory to God when you produce and bear fruit. But here's the thing. Different seeds produce different fruit or have a different harvest at different seasons. And it is based on the fruit they are meant to produce. So your season might not be her season. Her season might not be his season. His season might not be your season. So when you see someone operating in what God created, called, and commissioned them to do and to be, sometimes we get so excited, and sometimes we see people with certain gifts and talents and abilities, and we let our flesh get in the way, and we say, ooh, I wish I could do that, or I feel like I could do that, and you begin to step in something out of season because you're a different seed than them. You're comparing apples to oranges. And you're supposed to produce oranges. They're supposed to produce apples. So you have to be aware and understand that although you are a seed in the earth, you might be a different seed from him or her. Your season is different and your fruit is different. So therefore, your timing might be different from their timing. So pay no attention to their season. Focus on your own season and when you're supposed to produce fruit. Ask God, God, when is my time? When am I supposed to step into this thing? And when am I supposed to produce? 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. How do we expound on that? It says, in order for God to get the glory out of his seed, see, I just told you that there's things on the inside of you that God has preordained you to do. There's gifts, callings, assignments, anointings that God has put on the inside of you. And he expects at the right time for you to produce it. But here's the kicker, Elder. Here is the kicker. The kicker is that you've got to die to your old season. Did y'all hear me? The kicker is that you have to die to the old season. You have to die to your ways of thinking. You've got to die to your ways of doing. You've got to die to your ways of figuring things out. Because when the time comes for you to walk into the things that God has created, called, and commissioned you to do, it cannot be done by your intellect. You won't be able to figure it out. It won't make sense. God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise and the weak things of the world to confound the strong. And sometimes, most times in the season that God calls you, is the most inconvenient and it doesn't make sense. And in many cases, you don't even feel ready. But he says, unless a seed fall to the ground of him, if you want potential, which is on the inside of him, will stay on the inside of him. If you cannot bring yourself to a place of humility and worship and full submission unto God, it says that which is on the inside of you will remain on the inside of you and will not bear fruit. He said, unless a seed fall to the ground. I want y'all to get a picture of that. A seed has to come out of the bag and fall to the ground. What do you mean, Jeremy, about a seed coming out of the bag? See, a bag of seeds, when a seed is in a bag, it's around people that look like them, talk like them, act like them. Every seed in the bag is the same. It's just a bunch of round, it's around a bunch of folk. It loves being around people. It loves being around the same people. And y'all just in this bag together. You got your own clique. You got your own group. You're just in this bag and y'all having a good time in this bag. But guess what? As long as you in that bag, you will never produce the fruit. There comes a time in your life where you can no longer worry about the crowd. You can no longer worry about who's around you. You can no longer worry about who's going to approve of you. You can no longer worry about who's going to confirm you. You can no longer worry about who's going to like you, who's going to accept you. You don't no longer have to worry about the crowd and being in the bag. At some point in time in your life, God says, I want you to come out of the bag, and I need you to humble yourself. I need you to fall to the ground because I'm trying to get something out of you. I'm trying to produce something out of you. I'm trying to pull something out of you. And as long as you're in the bag with everybody else that talks like you, acts like you, walks like you, he said, you will never produce what I have on the inside of you. As long as you're in the bag, you're just around a bunch of seed like you. Is it possible that you can spend your life being around? Is it possible, this is the question, is it possible that you can be surrounded by people and still feel lonely? Who's ever felt like that? I felt like that. You've been surrounded by people. You got plenty of friends and family around you, but you still feel empty. You still feel lonely. You still feel like you don't know your identity. Why? Because your identity is not about who you're around. Your identity is about what you're connected to. And a seed is supposed to be connected to the dirt. A seed is supposed to be connected to the ground. It's supposed to go through the process that it needs to go through so they will produce the fruit. Let me tell you something, you will never be happy as God's seed in the earth until you get in the proper conditions that will pull the right thing out of you. This is why you go to conference. This is why you can go to all types of events. This is why even in church, you can go to conference after conference after conference, workshop after workshop, convention after convention, convocation after convocation. This is why you can go to church events and still feel empty. This is why you can be busy in the church. This is why you can have all kind of stuff going on the program. This is why you can still have every event after every event and still feel empty. Because it's not about being in the bag around a bunch of people. It's about being in the ground and being allowing God to toil you and till you and to pull and to cause you to be covered up for a season and to cause you to be covered up and to be around even around manure. It sometimes requires you to be in a place that's uncomfortable so that you produce the fruit that is on the inside of you. But see, the problem is a lot of times we don't like to be uncomfortable. And we don't like transitioning out of the season that was comfortable for us. See, let me tell you something. If you paid attention to the church, the body of Christ, the universal church as a whole, 2020 was uncomfortable for the church. We had to leave our buildings and we had to get on Zoom and we had to get on Facebook and we had to learn technology and we had to shift how we do things. We had to do things a little bit different. And even when we came back, we had to social distance and we had to cover our mouths and we hear people muffling talking to us and it's just uncomfortable. Everything feels uncomfortable, but that's okay because growth sometimes feels uncomfortable. That's okay because production sometimes causes discomfort. Sometimes God puts the church in discomfort because he's trying to get something out of them. And if you try to continue to be comfortable when God's trying to make you uncomfortable, you will continue to be a seed in the bag that produces nothing. God is making the church uncomfortable because he's trying to produce something new out of us. In order for God to get the glory out of his seed, his children, the seed has to fall to the ground or humble yourself and die, which means give up your will and your ways for him. In order for you to produce the fruit that God has for you and he has preordained for you, You have to be able to humble yourself and die to your will and to your ways of this thinking. Listen, there's things that God told me to stop doing that I just decided to do last week. I wrote down, I said, you know, even for the school, there were some things that God told us to do for our school of ministry. I got down all these strategies and all these things that I want to do, and God said, nope. He said, die to that. He said, die to that, and he said, follow me. Pick up what I want you to pick up, because what you're doing is out of season. He said, it won't work. It won't produce what I'm trying to get you to produce. Because what you were doing then was for that season. There's some things that we were trying to do, trying to replicate, that God said that was for that season. There were things that we did in our school of ministry that worked 4 years ago, but it will not work today. And it will not produce the fruit that needs to be produced today. What are you still doing that you were doing 4 years ago, 2 years ago, even a year ago? What are you still doing that God says, I left that season? That season is up. That time is up. He said, I can't produce in that season and what you're doing, because the work that you're doing now or that you were doing is out of season. I need you to shift. I need you to pivot. I need you to do some different things, because God says, I'm on a different season and I'm on different work. And I need you to make the shift. I need you to humble yourself. I need you to shift your will and your ways to mine. I need you to become a living sacrifice. And it's not just talking about salvation when we're talking about becoming a living sacrifice. But even after salvation and all throughout your life, you will constantly need to die or give up your ways and your season, your former season, for God's new season. See, it's hard for us to shift a lot of the times. We don't want to shift because we get so comfortable in our former season. It's kind of like going from grade school. You know you're going to have to go to the next grade, but you're going to have to go to the new school. When I was in eighth grade and I had to go to high school, I knew that there were different kids that were in different districts and different things. And I knew that when I left eighth grade and I was going to go to ninth grade to high school, I knew that I was going to lose some friends. I knew that there were some people that couldn't come with me. I knew that I was going to be stepping into a whole new level of living and learning in high school. I knew that I was going to have to shift from being the top man on campus in eighth grade to now being on the bottom of the totem pole in ninth grade high school. So I knew this was coming, and I knew this season was coming, but I physically made the shift, but my mind and my will did not. And so I kept acting like an eighth grader in ninth grade. Oh, see, that'll preach. Did y'all hear me? I said I was still acting like an eighth grader even though I was in the ninth grade. Why? Because even though I made the physical shift, I did not make the mental shift. And so therefore, I could not produce ninth grade work because I still had an eighth grade mentality. And it took me going through some things in ninth grade to finally figure out, you've left eighth grade, you've left that season, Moses, my servant, is dead, and now it's time for you to walk into the promised land. But you want to stay over here with Moses and mourn his death. Joshua, you want to stay over here with Moses? He said, I done dealt with Moses. He said, now I want to deal with you. And so sometimes Moses has to die, and we have to pick up the mantle and move so that we can be and go to the place where God is sending us, so that we can be fruitful and productive in the new season. Here's the thing. If you continue in your former season, you will end up operating outside of God's season, outside of his grace, outside of his influence, and God is not obligated to produce anything in your season. Do you hear what I said? If you fail to humble yourself and to shift to the new season as a seed in the earth, as God's seed in the earth, if you fail to shift to the season that God says you'll be most productive, And if you stay in the old season and still try to do the same thing you was doing before, he said, then you are, God is not obligated to do anything in the former season that you're still trying to stay in. Now, does that mean that you won't still be able to do work? No, you will go. You can go out there, till the ground. You can go out there and do everything you can, and the crop won't grow. Will the sun still shine? Yeah, the sun will still shine. The rain will still come. All the things that are necessary for you to produce the fruit may still be there. But because you didn't shift to the right season, the production can't come. If you continue again, if you continue in your former season, you will end up operating outside of God's season, outside of God's grace, outside of God's influence, and God is not obligated to produce anything in your season. When you are doing the former season's work, listen, when you are doing the former season's work in a new season, you do it without his anointing and without his influence. How do I know that? 24 says this. Well, 25, it says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. So when he says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, when you love your former life, and I'm not talking about your before you got saved, I'm talking about Christian folk who still love the old things, who still stuck in the old ways, who still stuck in how God did it a couple of years ago. When you love your former life, he says you'll lose it. Did you hear what I said? So married to that, when you get stuck in the former and you so married to the old thing that you were doing that used to work, he said what happens is when God makes the shift and when God's season time, when his time moves, he said you'll continue to do the old thing. Now listen, even though it's plainly clear that God is doing a new thing, you'll continue to do the old thing, and you know what? It says you'll lose that very thing. Let me tell you something. There's some, and I'm going to say this prophetically and I'm going to say this carefully, but I need you to hear what I'm saying. When 2020 happened, God was speaking loudly, it's time for the church to change. And we said, oh, yeah, we're going to change. We're going to step into the new thing that God is doing. We can't go back to the building and do the same thing that we used to do. And there were some churches that said, we're going to treat this like a little vacation time. We're going to take a break. And when the doors open back up, we're going to go back to doing the same thing that we were doing. And God says, although you went back to the building, he said, I am not there. He said, because I've made the shift. And all you did was take a break, but this was supposed to be a time of consecration and growth and changed mindset and changed heart. He said, but all you did was take a break and go back to the building and do the same thing you were doing before the transition. And because you did that, he said, you will lose the very thing that you're trying to hold on to. There have been churches who went back and they did what they were doing pre-pandemic. And because they went back to do the same thing, they lost the very thing that they were trying to maintain. And doors shut. People left. Why? Because you went back to a season that was no longer productive. I need y'all to hear me. They went back to a season that had dried up. The brook had dried up. And when the brook dries up, that means the water's no longer flowing. The anointing is no longer flowing. And so, therefore, you're operating in a dry place. You're a stubborn seed in the earth. But when you die to the former work, to the former ways, to the former thoughts, the former ideas, the former season, the former way of living, when you die to that and you step into the new season and you do the work and you have the thoughts and the ideas of the new season where you cooperate and collaborate with God. You guys have, you remember our series where we talked about cooperating and collaborating with God. When you get on his timetable and you get on his plan and you transition over to his season, When you get on his timetable, begin to produce the fruit, and that fruit will not only produce, but it will remain. So when you begin to do the new thing that God is doing, the fruit will show up and the fruit will stay. The fruit will show up and the fruit will stay. You won't have to worry about, oh, is the fruit going to stick around or is this just a hype? Is the fruit going to stick around or is this just, you know, are they just excited for the moment? No, if you do it God's way and you get on his timetable and you get on his plan and you collaborate with him and cooperate with him, then the fruit will show up. And Jesus said, he will make sure that the fruit remains, that it stays, that it won't go anywhere. And not only that, but it will bring God glory. What did I say that was? It will point back to God. And people will have no choice but to say that this is God's doing. When's the last time someone looked at your life and saw what you was producing and said, this couldn't have been you. This is God's doing. See, that is the purpose of a seed in the earth. It is to reflect God. It is to make people look at you and look at your life and say, this is God's doing. But when you do it out of season and you do it your old way and you just go back to doing the same thing that you were doing in one season instead of transitioning to the other, it'll be very evident this is your doing and your limited production. But when you do it God's way and you make the shift, it will bring God glory. People will look and say, it has to be something more than them. This is supernatural. 25. But when you are so in love, let me go back and read 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it until eternal life. So when you try to hold on to the old, it says you'll lose it. It'll basically slip out of your hands. You'll lose it. But the other half of that verse says, he that hateth his life. Now, that's some strong words. We know that even in this time and season, when you hear that word hate, that's a strong word. But it says, when you hateth your life in this world, you shall keep it. When you let go of the thing that you're trying to maintain, he said, you'll find it. That don't make any sense, right? He said, when you let go of the very thing you're trying to hold on to, the very thing you're trying to maintain, he said, if you could just let that go, he said, the very thing you're trying to produce will show up. But you got to let go of, see, a stubborn always. You got to stop being a stubborn seed. See, a stubborn seed will never yield to the ground. What is the ground? The ground is the Spirit of God. A stubborn seed will never yield to the Spirit of God, and therefore it will never be able to produce the things of God. But if you fall to the ground, it says you will find the very thing that you're trying to look, that you're looking for. Not only that, but it'll actually show up. It'll come to you. Did y'all hear me? I said, when you give up your will and your ways, the very thing you've been searching for will actually come to you. It's a difference in evangelizing in your flesh and evangelizing in your spirit. When you evangelize in your flesh, you're constantly trying to go, and they see you and they run. Oh, here they come. But when you step into the season and the ways and the will and the ways of God, when you do evangelism his way and in his season, the way that he told you to do it, then they'll meet you halfway. You'll start coming to them and they'll come to you and say, what must we do to be saved? But you've got to be able and willing to die to your will and to your ways. You can't. Yes, you can do church work without the anointing. I just want to let y'all know that. Can I say that again, Elder Jerry? Yes, you can do church work without the anointing. Yeah, did y'all know that? Did you know that you can go 40 years doing church work with no anointing? Oh, believe me, people been doing it for a long time. How do you prove that, Jeremy? I mean, you and not only that, but you can do church work for 40 years and your shoes never wear off. Because what happened in the wilderness says that God kept they, it says their clothes were maintained and their shoes were maintained in the wilderness. So God has enough grace to not let your shoes and your clothes wear out, but you ain't making it into the promised land. So you can do church work for 40 years and still never make it into the promised land. Never experience the things that God promised you because you're just maintaining. He maintained their clothing. He maintained their shoes. But those who were able to go into the promised land got new clothes and new shoes. I don't know about you, but I don't want just clothes that are maintained. My wife, you know, she's a designer. So there's some things that, you know, I'll get some pants or something. And I'll ask her to alter them and stuff like that. Well, after so long, you know, she'll alter some pants or whatever. And, you know, I might gain some weight or something might happen. Some things might shift around. What y'all talk about season shifting. Sometimes you just need to go gifting in different seasons and you can keep getting them pants altered if you want to. But sometimes you just need to go get a bigger size. But this is y'all laughing, but that's how we do in church. We just keep altering the pants. We just keep altering the strategies. We just keep trying this. Well, let's try this. And then that's you altering your pants. Well, let's try that. That's you altering your pants. Let's try this. That's you altering your pants. And God's just saying, no, I'm trying to get you a new pair of pants. And you just want to keep altering the ones that you got. He said, throw them pants away. You know you didn't got fat. And either go lose weight or get some more pants. Now, I'm being funny, but I'm being serious. It's time for the church to stop altering their pants and just go get into the new pants that God's trying to put on you. Enough alterations. Go get something new, up to date, and fashionable. There's some pants that just don't work anymore. Not only do they not fit, but they just out of style. They out of season. I don't see too many people rocking bell bottoms anymore. I know. She gonna get on me. She said it's coming back. It's coming. Yeah. But y'all get my idea. There's subtle things that you may revisit in a season. There's some things that may revisit in a season. But there are some things in the full 70s era will never come back. You can take certain elements of the 70s. You can take certain elements of the 80s. You can take certain elements of the 90s. But I don't want to go back to the 90s because there's some things in 2022 that I believe that are made for me. That are better than that was what was in the 70s. So why keep altering God's pants when he's trying to give you a new pair? Embrace the new pair of pants. Go get the new suit. Get the new suit. And stop trying to alter the old pants. Die to the seed. Let your seed die. Some of y'all need to, some of y'all need to go empty out that closet. That's some clothes. We got some clothes. Some of us just need to clean out our closet. And yes, that's in the natural, but it's also in the spiritual. Because sometimes when you let go of things in the natural, it helps you to shift mentally. Some of y'all need to clean out some things out of your house because it's keeping you bound mentally and spiritually. There's some things in your past that God says you, and I'm speaking prophetically right now, and whatever God speaks to you and tells you to let go of, you need to go in your house and you need to clean it out and you need to let it go. He says, because there is going to be a spiritual shift. So you need to go in your house and you need to pray and ask God, say, God, what is it in my house that I've been holding on to that is keeping me bound and keeping me locked into a season that you have left and that I need to get rid of so that I can mentally and spiritually transition into the season that you're called me into where I could be most productive. There are physical things in your house that God says that's what's keeping you bound. That's what's keeping you from being productive. I remember when I was a youth pastor in a church in Greenville, and there was a time where we just kept cleaning the carpet. We would get these big carpet cleaners, and we would just clean the carpet. And every, you know, it was a youth area, so kids would bring in ice cream and food. You know, we had food. So the kids would always spill something on the carpet. And so we would always get these rug doctors and these rug cleaners. And every few months, we would just keep, you know, cleaning this carpet, cleaning this carpet, cleaning this carpet. And after a while, the pastor said, I don't want to clean the carpet no more. Let's go get some new carpet. Let's just buy some brand new carpet and let's change the rules and say, you can't eat in here no more. And see, what the risk is, you have the risk of, but when you make those changes, you run the risk of kids saying, well, if I can't do this no more, I'm just not going to come back. I don't care. I don't want to keep renting rug doctors because you don't want to stop eating. We need an environmental change. Why? Because if you stay in the same season, you'll keep renting things to try to put a Band-Aid over the main problem. When you just need to get new carpet. And here's the kicker. We were pricing carpet, trying to figure out how we was going to get new carpet. And at this time, I was in the Army National Guard, so I would go to Anderson, the headquarters battalion, and I would have to go there and do all kind of work or whatever. And at the same time, I was the youth pastor, and so I said, Pastor, I said, what color carpet do you want for the main sanctuary, because we were replacing the carpet in the main sanctuary too. What carpet, color carpet do you want for the main sanctuary? And what color carpet do you want for the youth area? And she said, I want this color for the main sanctuary and this color for the youth area. Y'all pay attention. She made the request and made the decision to say, we're stepping out of this. We're going to stop maintaining, and we're going to step into the new thing that God is trying to give us. So once she made a decision to say, let's stop cleaning the carpet and let's just get new carpet, a couple of weeks later, I go to my battalion, and my sergeant said, Jeremy, we need you to go down to the AAMDC. We need you to go down there, and we need you to do some maintenance on these other vehicles. So it was an odd request because that was not my job. It was somebody else's job, but they asked me to do it. And so I said, this is a weird request. Why would they send me down there to do that? That's not even my MOS. That's not even my job. And so you don't argue with your sergeant, so you do what you got to do. So I, along with a friend, we go down to this large vehicle bay, and we lift up the door, and there's all these vehicles, and so we start doing maintenance. And the Holy Spirit said, look to your right. And I looked to my right, and I saw these large rolls of carpet, And the pastor had said that she wanted blue and red carpet. Guess what color carpet was in this vehicle bay? You right, red and blue. And I said, you got to be kidding me. And I went to the person that was in charge. I said, what are y'all going to do with all this carpet? He said, well, we've only used it one time for drill and ceremony. He said, we only roll it out when we do ceremonies. He said, then we take it back up. He said, so it's only been used twice for two different ceremonies. He said, we've been trying to get rid of it. He said, we don't have nobody to come and take it off and haul it off. I said, would you be willing to give it to me? He said, if you can get a truck here today, he said, you can have it. He said, matter of fact, he said, we'll rent the truck. He said, we'll rent the truck. Y'all hear me? He said, we'll rent the truck and we'll actually take it to your location wherever you need it and drop it off. Then not only that, but when we got the carpet to our facility, there was a guy there that was working with my dad with some other work. He said, oh, y'all getting new carpet? We was dropping. He was like, yeah. He said, I'll help you lay it at no charge. Are y'all getting this yet? But see, what it took, Elder, it took the pastor saying, I'm tired of operating in this old season, and maintaining, and I'm ready for God's new thing that he wants to send us. At some point in time, you got to stop being a stubborn seed and trying to maintain what you got and shift into the new, because there's some new things that are waiting to come to you. It's what, look, I imagine God's blessings, God's favor, God's all of God's riches and his, all the things that he wants to give to you. It's at the starting line like this. It's like this. And it said, as soon as they give up, as soon as they die to their will, as soon as they die to their way. Now, I want you right here. Say, I give up. Oh, here we come. That's how your blessings coming to you. That's how your favor is coming to you. That's how God's production, that's how the fruit that God has for you will start showing up. If you are willing to humble yourself and die to your will and to your ways, if you can just for a moment stop being a stubborn seed, your blessings and your harvest will show up. I'm going to wrap it up. And here's why it's important for you to shift into your new season. As a seed in the earth, this is why it's important for you as a seed in the earth to shift to the new season and to die to yourself, is because the new season is the ground that has been tilled and prepared for your harvest. The harvest that is preordained in eternity. Verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Jesus said, if you really say that you serve me, here's a challenge to you right now. Jesus said, if you really say that you serve me, if you really say you are a follower of Christ, if you really say that you follow the, you are led by the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ. He said, if that's really who you say you are, he said, then you will let go and leave the works of the former season and follow him into the new season. He came to Peter and he said, follow me. And the Bible says that they dropped their nets. They dropped their nets, which means they didn't try to bring their nets with them to do a different work. Because why? Because he said, you've been fishing. You've been working for fish. He said, I want to get you. He said, I want to help you and teach you how to fish for men. He said, so you can try to bring that net with you if you want, but that won't catch folk. A fish net can't catch people. So they had to drop their nets and die to the old work so that they could go produce in the new work. Imagine if Peter had tried to take that net with him to go catch folk, and all of a sudden maybe got Jesus preaching. And I want y'all to get a visual picture of this. Jesus preaching, and Peter take that net, and he throw it out in the crowd, and he try to grab. First of all, they probably cuss him out, right? Because a fish net is not made for people, right? So why do we try to take, why do we try to take our fishnet into the new season that God said, God wants to bring us into, when we really should just let go of that net? Get rid of the fishnet and take up the new thing that God has for you. If you really say that you serve me and that you love me, then you will let go and leave the former works of the former season and follow me into the new season. Last verse, 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men into me. I'm going to read that in the Amplified. And I, if and when I am lifted up from the earth on the cross, will draw and attract all men, Gentiles as well as Jews, to myself. Jesus said in verse 32, if you will allow yourself to die out of the old season and into the new one, you will bear much fruit, and it will draw and attract the harvest that has been preordained and prepared for your life. Jesus knew that it was his season. in his time to go to the cross. And so he had to let go of his currencies, and he had to let go of his fellowship with the disciples. He said, it's time for me to go, guys. I've got to go into this new season. I've got to make a sacrifice. But the Bible says that God sent his son into the earth so that he could be the firstborn among many brethren, which means Jesus had to give up his old season, being with the Father, so that he could come to earth, so that he could win a harvest. And I'm here to tell you today, and you can, if you don't mind playing, I'm here to tell you today, and I need you to take this seriously. There are some things that God is telling you to let go of, to drop the nets on, let go of the nets. There are some things that God said it's time to leave that season. God said, is there some things that God said that worked then, but it will not work now? And he says that if you can only let go, humble yourself, if you could just be a seed that will be willing to go to the ground, humble yourself, and to die as a living sacrifice, of course. He said there's a harvest connected to your obedience. There is a harvest. Some of y'all don't realize the people that are waiting for you to drop your nets. There are people that are waiting for you to drop your net. God himself is waiting for you to drop your net, to humble yourself and say, God, that season is over. Bring me into the new. He said, if you follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. But notice Jesus said, if you follow me, then there will be a harvest of men. And here's the sad part. If you don't follow him, there's no harvest. There was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus and said, what must I do to be saved? And he said, I want to follow you. And Jesus said, well, here's what you need to do. He said, you need to sell all your land, sell all your possessions, sell everything you got, he said, and come follow me. And the Bible says that that rich young ruler became depressed because he was so tied to the things that he had in this season that he could not see the glory of God that would be revealed in the new season. And Jesus said, many will not follow me because of what they got to give up. He said, but if they only knew that my Father said, and he said, I say, no man or woman who is willing to give up land, houses, he said, they will receive that much more in the end. And that requires faith and obedience. Here's my question to you today. Will you be a stubborn seed? Or will you have the faith to believe that whatever you sacrifice and whatever you're willing to give up, the things that God said, let go, or to move beyond, step into this new. Have faith to believe that the thing he's calling you to is greater than the thing he's calling you from. Believe today that the thing that he's calling you to is greater and more productive than the thing that he's asking you to walk away from. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this word on today, God.